You are listening to the Sound and Faith podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
Our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist Fellowship to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's kind of crowded in here today.
It is.
What's up with that?
We have an audience. We are not alone.
Not alone.
We have community. See what I'm doing there? See what I'm doing there?
Leading it up.
We are not alone. We have a community surrounding us today.
Well played.
Yes, we are continuing today with our series on our five loves, Pastor Mike. And as we jump into this today, why don't we just do a brief recap of what we've talked about so far?
Yeah, so we've talked about the first two loves, love God and love God's word and prayer. So left on the docket is today's love one another, and then love our neighbors will come up, and then love the gospel.
Yes.
So that's where we're going. And, you know, along with those, there's commitments. And so today's commitment, love one another and commit to Christian community, which is why you led it that way, which is we're doing community.
We
have community here. I wish you guys could see it. We've got 25 people here.
Yeah, we're not alone in our studio today in the Batcave. We are. We have some guests. We have Elijah Myers, who's aiming a camera at me right now.
Probably took five pictures while you said that.
He is, and he loves it when I talk about my feelings, so I'm going to
Elijah is our graphics and social media coordinator. Lots of the cool graphics you see, our banners and things, are done by him, influenced by some others.
Yeah.
He's the one who creates those things. And a lot of our social media things and a lot of our videos, too, that you might see, created by Elijah. So thankful. Yes.
He is a talented young man.
And he's just intimidating me with his camera lens right now.
And he did this awesome logo that we have here for our podcast. Did a great job with that. And also here in the studio today, we've got Micah Siemens, who is doing an internship with us right now.
So he's helping out in some areas and helping out right now.
Finishing up a degree at Moody Bible Institute and is doing his internship with us. And so he's helping us out today, enjoying us. And so we're in community with one another. And that's awesome that we have this here today going on. Yeah. So let's jump in.
All right.
Love one another.
Where did that love come from?
Yeah, so I want to start with
say that it was probably from the Bible.
It is from the Bible. So we strive to have everything that we do here at Faith rooted in Scripture. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35 says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." This is Jesus speaking here. "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus is making a very important point about this to his disciples, that by this, others will know that they are his disciples, that if they love one another. Jesus is emphasizing that loving one another is an essential component to being a follower of Christ. So we have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is essential, but we are not just in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we're in that personal relationship with him, we are also brought into a new family with other believers.
Right.
And that is what being in community with other believers is about. That's why we are to love one another. And that's why it's so important.
I have to put my finger up because I'm about to say something important. And Elijah wanted to know what I was going to say.
Say something important here.
Okay, meaningful. That was the word, meaningful. We have to be done with this monastic idea that our Christian life is simply me, the Bible, and God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, I can do this on a mountain by myself, a tree stand. I don't need other people. That idea, it just doesn't jive with the Scriptures. If you add up all of the commands of the Bible, of the New Testament especially, and then decide which ones of those you can follow without other people.
Right.
There's just not a lot. Like, the one another commands are huge, and they're everywhere. And the emphasis of the Bible is overwhelmingly be in community. This is God's will for your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to look at a few of those here at the end of the podcast today, those one another commands of Scripture, because they're so essential. Yeah. And so we're not minimizing the fact that in order to be in a right relationship with God, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not minimizing that personal aspect of being a Christian. Yes, you have to personally believe and trust in the finished work of Christ.
For sure.
But when we do that, when we're in that right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we're part of this new family that God has made us, this new people. And so it is essential then that we be part of this family, that we be in relationship with other Christians.
Yeah. So much of the Christian life has to do with the church, like even the gospel. Like you hear the gospel, you hear the gospel from other people.
Yeah.
Like they're the ones who share it with you, right?
Yeah.
You persevere in the faith because of other Christians. You know, I mean, God's the one holding us, right? We know that, the theological. But he uses people, man. He uses people to help us continue on in this fight of faith.
So as a resident Greek scholar here, Pastor Mike, there you go. What does church mean in the Greek? What's the Greek word for church?
Well, the Greek word's ekklesia.
And what does it mean?
Gathering.
Gathering
or assembly,
and it's hard
people to be together.
Yeah, it's people together, and so it's hard to do that when you're just by yourself.
Yeah,
you can't do that when you're
you can't. And so the emphasis on Christian community. This is why we're always saying. So I think people sometimes hear me say you need to be in church, and they just think I just want a lot of people in church on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
and that is not at all it. What it is I know for your good and really for the good of others. You need to be in the body of Christ. We need to be together, and so Christian community is vital. Now, this commitment I think it's probably good to mention this. Mm-hmm. It used to be commit to, so love one another is the love, and the commitment was commit to a faith group.
And our faith groups are our small group ministry that we have here at Faith.
Right. We have 23 of them, 24 of them. And about 200 and some odd people are involved in those.
Yeah.
It's a really significant ministry and a really significant way that we do small community. But we changed that in our elder council last year to commit to Christian community. So let's just speak to why we did that.
And we're going to talk further about this too, because
we do talk about it.
I do want to circle back around to it, because we do believe that faith groups are important, and we want to encourage people here at Faith,
They're huge.
Part of those. Yeah. But we also want to broadly speak to it, that we want people to be broadly connected to the body of Christ, both in our corporate gatherings and throughout the week.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an important part of what we emphasize here in this podcast today.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So faith groups, vital. We really believe it's a great part of Christian community. And we do want everyone at Faith to be involved in faith groups. So in changing that, we weren't minimizing that.
Right, yeah.
But we were saying that's not all. Like, Christian community has a lot. It's a little broader than just that.
All right, I'm going to read you a quote here.
All right.
And this is a quote that I talk about in our Faith Explored class, our membership class here at Faith. And sometimes I get some raised eyebrows when I say it. And so I'm going to read it. I want you to respond to it. This is from a pastor in Portland, Oregon, and he's an author. He wrote the book on conversion. He's written a book on biblical theology.
You know him personally?
I know him personally.
I guess I do too.
Michael Lawrence. And the quote is this: churches have a chance to show the world what heaven will be like.
Mm.
Go with that.
All right. So that means that our coffee is very similar to the coffee you're going to drink in heaven.
Exactly. And how everybody treats everybody is exactly how heaven is going to be like.
Christian community centered on the gospel.
Right.
I mean, to get serious.
Yeah.
Christian community centered on the gospel, centered around the person and the work of Christ, existing to glorify God in love for one another. That's what heaven's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, with Christ at the very center, that's what heaven's going to be like. And Christian community, you know, the church, is a taste of that. Imperfect, you know, we don't do any of those things I just mentioned well, you know, or perfectly, rather. Sometimes we do them weller than others. But you could speak to it probably in more of Michael Lawrence's own terms. I don't recall how he actually phrased it, but I think that's the heart of it.
The heart of it there is not that the church is perfect.
Right.
But it should be a little taste. It should be a little appetizer of heaven and you hit the nail on the head there, and it is because living out the gospel, living in light of the gospel in a gospel-centered community, because you have people from different backgrounds, people perhaps of, you know, from different walks of life coming together, living centered on Christ, living in forgiveness, serving one another, loving one another, and that is just a little taste of heaven. And when we do that, when we live in that way, we are showing people what heaven will be like. It's just a little appetizer before the entree. And I'm using all these food analogies, you know.
That's because I mentioned coffee in the beginning.
I know, you mentioned coffee. And so it's definitely not perfect, and we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But we want to show the world what it means to have a loving, committed community centered around Christ. And it is a real testimony to what heaven is going to be like.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the passage you read for us a moment ago from John, from the Gospel of John, by this they will know that you're my disciples if you love one another.
Love one another, yeah.
So, I mean, even in that, you see that picture. You know, you see this love, this brother and sisterly love that we have for one another as a family centered on the gospel. That's a picture of what heaven's going to be like. Mm. There's going to be a wonderful, sweet, perfect love for one another because of Jesus, and because we're all following Christ.
Yeah. Well, so let's go with that theme of the gospel. How then can this knowledge that God has saved us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ then motivate us to be in loving fellowship with other believers?
Yeah. You know, I could say a lot here. I'll say two things. One, you no longer have to fight for your stuff. You know,
<Yeah.
laughs> you are accepted by God on the basis of what Christ has done alone. You've been loved. You know, the other thing I want to say is you've been loved. You've been loved. You are now free to love one another. You know, you're now free. You've been loved to such a degree that that overcomes all the things that would get in the way of the way that you love one another. You know, so now you can love. You don't have to seek your own interests first. You don't have to do any of those things. You're free to look to your brother and see their need, love them well, and Philippians 2.
Yeah,
we're free to do that because of what Christ has done for us on the cross.
When you know that your sins have been forgiven, when you walk into the gathering of the saints and you know that all your junk has been washed away by Christ, you are freed then to just love others.
You are.
We can go on and on about this, but it's just you're just so freed to truly know that I've been let. All of my sins have been washed away.
Right.
I can truly be freed of my sins, and I can love others as Christ has loved me.
Without the gospel, we're left to simply really fight for our own acceptance, fight for our own, we're competing with others. It's all of those things. It's like a race, and we just want to beat other people. We just want to win, and there's no love in that, you know. Yeah. But because of the gospel, and because Christ has made it so that we are justified freely by his grace through the work that he did on the cross, we are, like you said, free to love.
And there's another aspect to this, too. There's a common shared experience that we have with other believers when we come together with them. You think about, you know, I've never served in the military, but you see soldiers that run into each other that served together. And
a camaraderie.
A camaraderie. Or people who have been through a common shared experience, they meet each other and they're like, "Hey, you went through that too. I did that too." And then they start sharing stories, and that's what the gospel does. It brings us together, even if we've come from drastically different walks of life, different socioeconomical backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different linguistic backgrounds. We come together, and it's like, "Hey, you know, you were lost and dead in your sins. And Jesus saved you. He did the same thing for me. And wow, we have this in common. Hey, you were going down the path to hell, and Jesus saved you. He did that for me too. You know, and that's that common shared experience that we have, and that unites us in that bond of love.
And then, right at the heart of it, right, there's a new heart.
There's like, an, yeah.
You know, he has so transformed, so radically transformed this heart of stone. He's taken the heart of stone out, put a heart of flesh in, a heart that is like God's, in the image of God, and I can now love like he loves.
Yes.
You know, he has enabled love. He has created me to love. And now that is all made possible through the work of the gospel. Like, you cannot love other people the way that God commands you to without yeah. this supernatural work of God's grace happening in your life. You just can't. You know, it's, you know, that old poem that we've quoted a few times here, "Run, John, run, the law commands, but gives us neither feet nor hands. Far better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly," and that's love.
Yeah.
Love for one another, and gives us wings.
Gives us, yeah. That's such a good.
Yeah.
Such a good poem.
Bunyan didn't say it, but rats.
Who did say it?
Some guy named John.
Some guy, yeah. We'll find out one of these days. Where this is, and the cool thing about this, this community, and this is one of the things that I say in our Faith Explore class, this is one of the things that I say when I counsel people. You know, all of us are different personality types. You've got introverts, extroverts, everything in between. You know, I'm an outgoing person. I love being around people. My wife's an introvert. She loves people, but she also likes her quiet time, alone time. But despite our personality preferences and all of that, we were designed by God to be in community with others.
We were.
We weren't designed to be isolationist. And where is that rooted in? You know, where do we find that? Why are we hardwired that way?
You mean why, being made in the image of God, are we desirous of community?
Yeah,
like the inner Trinitarian love, the Father.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at right
Son
there.
Has for, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is who God is, right?
Yes.
And this is why the doctrine of the Trinity, by the way, is so practical. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the reasons it's so practical and so important, you know, we're made in his image and we're made to love, you know. God perfectly loved throughout all of human history. I mean, throughout all of eternity.
Yeah.
You know, throughout all of eternity. And the object of that love was God, you know. And so now we made in his image can now love. And the object is other image bearers, neighbors,
yeah.
other image bearers, but especially, and we ought to speak a little bit to this, especially the household of God.
Right. Yeah. So God was never lonely throughout all of eternity and decided to create man so that he would have a companion.
Right.
He existed eternally as Father, Son, Holy Spirit throughout all of eternity.
Sufficient in himself.
Sufficient in himself. That's why when we say God is love, he didn't become love when he created Adam and Eve. He's always been love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, inner Trinitarian love that has existed through all eternity. And then in the creation of man, the overflow of that love extended to Adam and Eve, and we are the beneficiaries of that love created in his image. We also understand what it means to be in community with others. And that's why he said for Adam, it was not good for him to be alone.
Right.
He created Eve. And so we are created, we are hardwired to be in community
right.
with others.
Right.
You know, even if whether we're married or not, we are still created to be in community with others.
So I just want to encourage you, listener, if you have in you that impulse to push back on that and to think that you don't need community, that really is not a godly impulse.
You
know, that's part of the disorder that happens because of the fall. You know, you wanting to be separate from people, you will not be happy that way.
Right.
You know, you will not be happy that way. It seems like you will, you know, because you think of all the struggles you have with other people and you think, oh, if I didn't have that, everything would be good, but you won't be happy.
And that doesn't mean you have to have 1,000 best friends.
No.
You know, but it does mean that we have been designed by God to be in community with, especially as Christians, with other believers. And
I'm really just doing this podcast because I want more friends.
Right. So if any of you are looking for friends,
I'll be your friend.
Pastor Mike will be your friend out there. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind. And what was the other thing you said there that we really wanted to highlight? You said something else about making sure we highlight with this.
I don't recall now.
Okay. So listener, if you're hearing this, remind us of what Pastor Mike just said.
Yeah.
But we were designed as image bearers of God to be in community with other believers. So as we've talked about this, the importance of being part of a local church, the importance of being in community with others, I want to talk about for a moment church hurt.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing that keeps people from fully embracing Christian community. So
let's throw out this statement here. I love Jesus, but I don't love his followers. It's his followers I can't stand.
Yeah.
I've heard that statement before.
Yeah.
Or something like it.
I can't stand it. It's not right. And I understand where it comes from.
Yeah.
The hurt that you've endured, you think, you know, this, but it's like saying, I love Jesus. I just can't stand his bride.
Mm.
You know, like that doesn't sound good, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know? It's like, I love you, but I don't love your face.
Yeah. You looked right at me when you said that.
I was just saying, you see how absurd that sounds.
It does sound absurd. It does. And so I want to encourage you to push back. Like, yes, you've been hurt. I get it. You know, and church hurts real. I don't minimize that. I know that we hurt one another as Christians. Yeah,
let's acknowledge there are people who have been deeply hurt in churches. Yeah. That's true.
But the answer to a lack of love in your experience is not more lacking love. Mm-hmm. The answer is love. Like, the answer is to get back into community, push beyond that impulse that makes you want to separate yourself and know that that's not from God, and embrace Christian community. That there are no perfect churches. You know, there are no perfect churches. If you're around a church long enough, I've experienced some hurt in the body of Christ, and I think everyone in this room has probably at some point experienced some hurt in the body of Christ. And what do we do? We continue to love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another. That's what we have to do. If everything we've said so far is true, and it is,
then
you cannot let a fallout with another Christian keep you from experiencing the community that God has designed you for.
Yes, one of the things that I think is important to keep in mind is that the church is not a place filled with perfect people. You said this before, I think it's the Spurgeon quote, if I were to find a perfect church, I would not join it lest I spoil it with my sin. I'm kind of paraphrasing that there. But the reality is the church, the best of churches, is filled with sinners who are in process. And that's where that doctrine of progressive sanctification is so important.
Yeah.
It's the reminder that while we've been redeemed and we've been justified and we stand before a holy God clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we are still being conformed to the image of Christ, and we are being made in his likeness day by day. Our sins are being mortified. And so you're surrounded in the best of churches with people who are still in the flesh, who still sin, who still need to daily put sin to death and need to repent of sin.
Yeah.
And so they are going to disappoint you. They are going to falter. They are going to stumble.
And I'll not push back on what you're saying, but I'll push back on that impulse a little bit further.
Yeah.
And say, often when we do that, we take ourselves outside of the fray and other people are the problem.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we back up and we say, it's all those Christians. Like, it's all those other, this is why I'm not a part of the church. Mm. As if you yourself have no sin, you know, that needs, you yourself never need to be bear, no one needs to bear with you and your burden, you know, because you're different. Here's that Spurgeon quote. Can I read it?
Yeah.
I think it's so good. This is Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a Baptist pastor from the 19th century. He said, "If I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it, for it would not have been a perfect church after I became a member of it."
Yeah.
Still, imperfect as it is, and here's what I want you to really hear, listener, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's imperfect. So it is. But once you embrace it and love one another and seek to follow Christ there, you will be blessed.
Mm.
You know, you will find true, like real love there.
And, you know, I'm reminded of the verse in Matthew chapter 18 where someone comes to Jesus and says, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" Seven times. And he says, not even seven times, but 70 times seven. And, you know, what he's getting at there is not necessarily 490 times, but an unlimited number of times. And you know, Elijah and I actually have like a little running joke here of the number of times we've forgiven each other. What are we at, like 450 or something like that?
We had a sponsor once.
Yeah, we did.
We should bring back this.
Every time we have to apologize about something, we're like, we'll text each other like, we're up to like 459 now or something close. Like that. Yeah. But, you know, but the point is that we're all part of the problem at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And so you're going to, you know,
we're in need of grace.
We're all in need of grace. Yeah. We're all works in progress.
Amen.
And that's where the gospel comes in, because in a gospel-centered church, we realize that.
Yes.
We realize that we're all in need of God's grace.
Right.
We all have been forgiven by God, and we're in that process together. And as Christ has forgiven us, so we can forgive others.
So I can look at my flawed brethren.
Yeah.
And I could see that God is at work in them, and I can forgive them because Christ has forgiven me.
Yeah.
And I can love them anyway. You know,
yes.
The way that God has loved me anyway. You know, if you add up all your hurts that you've ever had, and I don't just mean church hurt. I mean, like, if you add up all the times you've been hurt in this life, all the times you've been offended, let's use that word, you have still not been offended as much as you have offended God.
Mm.
And yet he has forgiven you,
you
freely, completely, totally, of all of those things. And it's just inconsistent to go and grab your brother by the collar and not forgive him for his sins against you.
So what the gospel does here, when we are centered on the gospel in this community, in an imperfect church filled with sinners who are in process, redeemed sinners who are in process, is when a brother or sister walks in on a Sunday morning and maybe is a little snippy with you, you know, you walk away from that conversation and maybe like, I wonder what was going on there. You know, you think, you know what? I wonder if they're just having a bad morning.
Yeah.
I wonder if the kids were screaming in the van. And you in that moment think, maybe I need to follow up with that person, but Jesus has forgiven me.
Right.
I can forgive him. I can forgive her.
And sometimes the sins are more substantial than that.
I understand.
And you still can do that.
You can still do that.
And let me just say this, because we have to put this in perspective.
Yeah.
This is like a small portion of my experience in the church. Overwhelmingly, these many years as a believer, I have been loved in the church.
Yeah, yeah.
And my heart has been full, and I've been treated with patience, and God's people have loved me well and encouraged me. There's a small portion of that experience that was that perhaps brought more tears than joy. But most of my experience with the church is that it is the dearest place on earth to us.
It is.
You know, like, it's been the place where when I've been hurting, I found encouragement. When I've stumbled, I found correction.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. It's so good.
The church has been
so beautiful.
Overwhelming love, overwhelming generosity, kindness, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep.
When I have gone through stuff, it's been the church who's been there first. To say, Mike, we love you and we're here with you.
Yeah. People showing up with meals, people coming by to pray. It has been our lifeline.
Yeah.
I mean, again and again and again, without question.
So Christian listener, commit to Christian community.
Yeah.
This is how we do the one another's. This is how we love one another well.
I want to read a quote here from Ray Orland. It's in that green book that we give away, The Gospel.
Yeah. Great book.
Yeah. He says this regarding this kind of community. It says, on Sunday morning, we walk into a new kind of community where we discover an environment of grace in Christ alone. It's so refreshing. Sinners like us can breathe again. It's as if God simply changes everyone's topic of conversation from what's wrong with us, which is plenty, to what's right with Christ, which is endless. He replaces our negativity, finger-pointing, and self-hatred with the good news of his grace for the undeserving. Who couldn't come alive in a community that's constantly inhaling that heavenly atmosphere?
That is so good. That is so good.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And here would be my pastoral encouragement to everyone who's listening, especially our faith folks, but anyone else who might be listening. First of all, for our faith folks, that is what we are striving by God's grace to be. That's what we want on our Sunday morning gatherings and throughout the week as you gather with other believers. So set your heart upon that. when you get up on the Lord's Day and you prepare to come together, just say, I want to purpose in my heart to come together and to be that type of community when I come together on the Lord's Day.
So let's talk about this real quick. I think it's okay. Oh, you say, how are we striving to do this at Faith? So that's where I am. So you could come on a Sunday morning and, you know, on any given Sunday morning, there's a lot of people, you know, more than 400, and you could feel kind of like, man, it's hard to have community. So I do think you can find community. It's actually, I think it's actually hard at Faith to come and not find community, even with all those people there, because it's such a loving church. By the grace of God, it's a loving church. But what are some other ways that we find community through Faith Baptist Fellowship?
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many different ways to get connected here at Faith. It is possible to come here to Faith and hide in a corner and slip in and slip out.
Right.
And I think that's possible anywhere.
Thankfully, it is hard here.
Yeah, it is hard to do that. People will try to reach out to you and connect with you. But, you know, fill out the Faith card.
Yeah.
Let us know that you're here. Find some different ways. Come to the Faith U Hour. Come to the Sunday School. Connect with a Bible study. Check some of those boxes on the back, and someone will connect with you about the different activities that we have going on here. And so, you know, get connected. Keep up with things that are going on here. And that's really the way. Get involved in a faith group.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Like, what's so good about faith groups? What have you found encouraging about faith groups?
It is, you know, in a church of, on an average attendance between both services of 420 to 450 people, you have to find a smaller subset of people to connect with that become your smaller community. You can't be best friends with 450 people. So a faith group is a way to find a smaller community that becomes your touch point with for prayer, for serving one another,
for care,
for caring for one another, all of those things like that. And that's been very valuable for us. We've been a part of three different faith groups since we've been here. And the reason for that is we were part of one, we started one, and then we split off and started another one. And in all of those, they've been a great way to just build community and relationships with people within the church on a smaller level. And you get together, and in the one that we're in now, we share a meal every time we come together. The format is we always share what's been going on in our lives. We speak into that with scripture, and then we spend some time praying for one another, and we end with some singing. Mm. And it's a great time. And then we have this text group, and we text one another in the interim. Usually we meet every other week, so we have this two-week gap, but we text one another what's going on and share prayer requests. And it's great. And we've built great relationships.
And if somebody in the group is hurting?
So we pray for one another, we reach out, and we serve one another. And that's great. And even the faith groups that we've been part of before, we haven't lost those relationships.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about that. So while we might not be actively in a faith group with them, we have maintained those friendships, and we still have these great relationships with those people.
As elders, we often, when we hear somebody is hurting or going through a particularly rough season, one of the first questions we ask is, hey, what faith group is that person in?
Yeah.
You know, and that faith group has typically already surrounded that person and is showing love and compassion and care.
Yeah. And that's a great thing that we have here at Faith. If you're not part of Faith and you're part of a church that has a small group ministry, we would encourage you to be part of a small group ministry.
Jump in.
Be part of that.
Every opportunity that you can have to have fellowship with the saints, go for it.
Yeah. And it really highlights, and we're going to wrap it up here, but you know, we have a long list here. I've got it on my iPad here, and I'm looking at this. You know, these one another statements throughout the New Testament that talk about loving one another, serving one another, being devoted to one another, building one another up, encouraging one another, confessing your sins to one another. You know, the New Testament was written with the overwhelming assumption that Christians would be in community with one another, that they would do life together. I know that's a catchy quiche term, but that's the reality, you know, that we would be in community with one another. And so Christians take that to heart. Make being in Christian community really central to your life as a believer.
Hmm. Awesome. Good work. Go. Really good.
We do have a question we want to address today.
Oh, here we go. The music.
All right. I won't sing.
All right.
What are the new thought and word of faith movements that we should be alert to in today's religious culture? And how do we recognize it when we hear it? What truths do we use to speak against such idea? This is from Raquel Yankee.
Great question. I wish I actually had done a little bit of research right before this to give a better answer, but I'll give you my knee jerk, if that's okay. So New Thought, they're very similar movements. My understanding is that New Thought, the difference would be that New Thought is mainly about like positive thinking and thinking about, you know, if you think positive thoughts in kind, you'll have positive experiences and those kinds of things. Whereas Word of Faith has to do with a lot more physical things, like if you have enough faith, you can pray for something and you can be assured that it will happen if you have enough faith. And so both movements, I think the problem with both of those, and so like the modern examples, I'm pretty sure that Joel Osteen has been influenced quite significantly by New Thought.
Yeah.
Maybe not Word of Faith. I'm not sure where he is with that, but. And then Word of Faith, there's lots of proponents.
Benny Hinn,
yeah, especially prosperity preachers. Yeah. Like anybody who preaches that if you have a headache.
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, he's a big one.
Yeah.
If you have a headache, you can pray against it and the headache goes away. If you're sick, you can pray against it, the sickness will go away. If you're poor, you can pray against it and wealth will come to you. Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, that's Word of Faith. So very similar. Both, I think, originated from the Pentecostal movement.
Yeah.
Phineas Quimby, I think, is the New Thought guy. And Word of Faith, I'm slipping for founders. But yeah, they're both destructive. I wish that was caught on camera.
Yeah, Elijah just knocked over a bucket of...
He did on purpose, didn't he?
Bucket of balls in our studio.
Yeah. They're both destructive because they promise too little. Let me just say this.
Yes.
They both promise something right here and right now. Yeah. They claim a gospel truth that has everything to do with all of eternity. And they say, this is it right now. This is the best life.
Yeah.
You know, this is it right now.
Yeah.
And it's small. The promise is small and it's focused now. And it doesn't leave room for suffering as a Christian.
Yeah. Has no paradigm for any significance to suffering.
Right.
And so when someone suffers, it's usually attributed to a lack of faith.
Right.
If their suffering doesn't come to an end, if they're poor, it is because of a lack of faith. There's no paradigm for that.
Right.
And
the New Testament talks a lot about suffering.
Right. It does.
As a Christian.
Yeah. And so how do we combat this? I mean, we really combat it with scripture. We speak truth of this.
Hold close to the gospel.
Right. Because so much of what they teach is based upon twisting and butchering scripture in order to get to those conclusions that they have. One resource that I will give, and I'll commend this with an asterisk beside it Mike Winger, who's a YouTube apologist.
The Bible guy or Bible answer guy?
Yeah, he's a great resource. He's got some different theological takes on some issues that I would disagree with. But in terms of addressing the concerns with New Thought and Word of Faith, he does an excellent and thorough job of looking at that scripturally. And so I would commend that. Mike Winger, you can look up his YouTube channel, and he goes through with a fine-tooth comb like Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, those guys, and I thoroughly would commend all of that, what he does.
And hang close to your church. Hang close to a church that's Bible-believing and that loves the gospel, that preaches expositionally, those kinds of things. That's a great protection against that false teaching in particular. Yeah.
Good question. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Raquel.
Well, we are wrapping up love number 3. I should write a song about our 5 loves.
I think you should.
I should do that.
I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you should. It's been a good topic today. We'll pick up next week, Lord willing, with our 4th love on loving our neighbors. That's always a fun one to talk
about.
It's
going to be great.
It's going to be a fun one to talk about. For the Sound and Faith podcast, in the studio with Elijah Myers and Micah Siemens, I'm Pastor Thomas.
And I'm Pastor Mike.
And Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday. Oh, goodness.